This is The State of Things. I'm Frank Stachow. In a moment of heightened social tension, poets render strong emotions into art. For some, the art becomes an arm of their activism, using their time on a slam stage to bring a mic to marginalized voices. Hassan Bird is one of those poets. He's a Raleigh native, a senior at North Carolina A&T University. He started the Slam Poetry Club there and now works with Emancipate NC, which is an organization that wants to end structural racism in this state. Hassan Bird, welcome to The State of Things.
How you doing?
I'm doing well. Tell us how you got into poetry.
I got into poetry, it was from my class my freshman year. I had to perform to get some requirements out the way, and so it was my first time ever really doing poetry on the stage, like as far as outside of my house or in that stage of my life, and I kind of fell in love with it.
Had you been doing poetry or interested in poetry up until that time?
And that's the crazy part. I really wasn't, but it was like poetry was something that I would read, but it wasn't something that I really thought that I could do until I did it. And then it became an option, and art became an option as far as how I wanted to construct my life. But before that, not really, honestly.
When you say an option, I wonder what exactly you mean. An option in terms of livelihood, an option in certainly expression. Because it seems to me it just opens up so many fields when you say that.
Facts. And so what I didn't understand, or what nobody told me from an early age, is that poetry can be the foundation for countless other trades or jobs or skills, just because of the things that you have to do to become good at it and what that allows you to transfer that into. And so when I say an option, I meant like something that I could spend my time. Like, I didn't understand that poetry was still alive. Like, I grew up in Raleigh, so I went through Raleigh schools, and they never really had like a in-depth, total like big poetry unit. Like, they didn't teach about Amiri Baraka, they didn't teach about Jasmine Mann, or anybody in between there. They didn't teach about Langston Hughes. Like, the only dash of poetry I got as a kid was a Langston Hughes poem out of a book called Raisin in the Sun. And I think that was like 10th grade. Like, that was like literally the only poem I ever saw in high school. So I didn't even know how big or how expansive poetry even is. Like, it's a whole underground world, overground world, just as big as music or dance, and possibly even bigger than that.
Well, go ahead, finish that thought.
That people can access and tap into. For life. But go ahead.
And it does seem like one of the worlds that opened up is the world of activism, and the way it helped you express some of the feelings that people are now trying to express again and again on the streets in this latest demonstration. How did that play for you? Did that evolve for you, or was it instantly were you aware of the fact that, oh, this is it for me?
And it's crazy because of the things that have been happening, they've always been happening. And poetry, and especially art, has always been a wing of combating the violence against Black people and supporting Black spirit and expressing Black anger, Black hate, Black love, and everything else. Like, poetry, in essence, has been around since the beginnings of Africa. Like, griots used to do rap battles. The Greeks used to do rap battles. Like, the thing that we do as poets, as rappers, as art has always been something that people do. And so because I grew up in activism, but not art, like, I grew up protesting. I grew up marching. That was something that my mother and my father did regularly, going into communities and building gardens, community gardens, or talking to them about Social Security or food security, or police brutality, or police accountability. Like, these are things that have been ingrained in me naturally. So when I got into art and artistry and expressing myself, and that turned me into somebody who could talk, who could communicate, who could understand the emotions of other people around me even better, and then turn around and get them to express that and get them to use their voice to enable them, to empower them, after seeing my parents do that, it kind of became a natural fit as far as turning around and using my art to paint the landscape. Like, I'll tell you this, at that slam that I did, poetry slams, you need 3 poems. There's 3 rounds. When I realized that, I only had 1 poem that I had written when I was 14, which is 2 years before. So I wrote a second one that night because of the things that were happening. It's called Funeral. It's like it's a whole, you can actually probably find it on my website.
You know what we're going to do after this segment? Right. We're going to ask you to send it to us, then we'll link to it so that everybody can find it at our website too. And in the meantime, can I ask you to read, maybe you could do Barbecue for us. Would you do that one?
Facts. I got you.
And then a little later on, we'll do another one. But I'd like, if you could do Barbecue now, we'll talk a little about that, and then we'll move on to Edgelord.
Facts. So my state is known for its barbecue, for the sauce, the flavor, staple Southern cooking. I grew up in backyards on summer afternoons, cookouts, mac and greens, biscuits and gravy with plates full of family recipes and front yard football games, contested catches while classic music bumps in the background, having to do the dishes afterwards. That's Carolina character. If we weren't in the field, we were in the kitchen, cooking and cleaning. See, my people are an eating people, and there's nothing that brings us together like food, because my state is always trying to tear us apart, always in a state of disrepair. I've seen whole neighborhoods disappear. Like those old summer days, my people keep drowning in a wave of rebuilding. Like they don't notice how we make castles from their scraps, how we turn your spite into treasure. They only like our magic when they can swallow it after they douse it in sauce. Black people are known for alchemy, turning anything into gold. We create healing out of everything they toss aside, so now they leave nothing behind. That's why my state is known for starving, for empty fields and emptier stomachs. 1 in 5 children go hungry here. 1 in 3 if they're black, known for stealing. Restaurants like Cookout try to sell our black experience back to us at a discount, like they could ever compare, like it ain't our sweat that pays these streets. Most people on minimum wage got a slave to eat, and those in control have never tried to fix the flaws in this food chain. More focused on moving our neighborhoods out the way in the name of their new progress. They don't have to tell us we don't matter. That's Carolina character. Treating us like we're only good for the kitchen or the fields. Condemning people to the fields, but not the food flowing from it. Southern hospitality, the way they don't have to say they'll still hate sharing lunch counters with us. Actions speak louder than words. And these people have always been hard to break bread with. Ask the Native Americans, or every nigga picked at picnics to be strung up, set on fire, and left for the town to see. And it's a hard sight to swallow. At Carolina Barbecue. That's it.
That is Hassan Bird reading the poem Barbecue. He's a senior at North Carolina A&T and part of the Bull City Slam team. You know, a powerful way to take culture, then turn it on its head, then turn it inside out, and then come back to the culture and really make us examine what we call our culture from about 1,000 different points of view. I think it's nicely done. I think it's nicely done. You also started the slam team, right, at A&T.
It's actually, I started a poetry club.
A
poetry organization. And it includes a slam team on the side, but slam is a very specific side of poetry. And I wanted to create a space where all types of artists could come and, well, written artists, but actually anybody's welcome. Like, if you want to go in and paint, we've had people like going in and paint and stuff. But where anybody can come and really build their craft and really just find a safe space on campus for those types of artists. But yes, sir.
Well, I'm going to talk to you more about that and the reception you receive, but I want to hear another poem right now. I want to talk a little bit about the poem Edgelord, which I think is a remarkable work. It's a fairly long work, so we're going to do just a section of it, but maybe you can set it up for us and tell us what an edgelord is, who that poem is dedicated to. Tell us what we need to know before we hear this poem.
Okay. So Edgelord is a very special poem to me because it's dedicated to one of my godbrothers. His name was Zaire Battle, and he passed he passed a couple years ago in an incident with a train, and left behind his four brothers and his mother, his father, his whole family. And they've always been really close to me. So they asked me to spit or to write something for his funeral. And this art is about expressing. And so I've always had an interesting relationship with grief and how I construct my poems. So I wanted to figure out a way to memorialize him in such a fashion where I could kind of take him with him and take his story and spread that around, because of just some of the ways or some of the things that happened with him and who he was as a person, and having to watch him grow up and just losing him early for something that probably, like, I don't know. Mm-hmm. It just hurt. And so that's what Edgelord is for. And Edgelord, so Zaire, he's kind of a little edgy kid. Edgelord is a term coined to represent those who do risky or extreme things. He was like, he played Mortal Kombat. He skateboarded. He liked to go play at the railroad. And actually, that was one of the things that he was doing on his YouTube channel. Like, he had a whole theme and personality that nobody really knew. Like, I couldn't, like, he talked, but he was quiet. He was demure. He was like, you know, he fought. Like, we were boys. So we were combat, like, we were tumble and
right.
fight and all these other things.
So he's a pretty good example of the edgelord, this guy living on the edge.
Fact.
And this is the...
You know, like, we were all rough and tumble people. Like, they would just kick us out and we would have to go play outside. And that was it. And don't come back in. And there's seven of us. So, of course, we would get into fights. We would do things. So he had this other side to him that people didn't really get to see. And now we won't.
Can we hear some of your eulogy for him?
Fact. So close your eyes. Can you see him? Dancing with locomotives like old friends. All grins and no care bared towards the danger. See, I think he was numb to the danger. In one of his videos, he's playing at the railroad, trying to hop a train, balancing on the tracks, dashing from one side to the other, watching 400 tins of steel fly by, hearing iron thunder against iron and feeling no fear. Only wind through your hair and joy in your heart. See, most black boys realize early on that danger is a question and your survival depends on refusing to answer it. I've got homies like my god brother who find their joy on the wrong side of the tracks or the law. Homies who don't look for trouble but will walk around their neighborhood in the dead of night hoping trouble finds them, because looking danger in the eye is the only time they feel alive. And even I love to live on the edge sometimes. Ain't no two-step like dancing with death. Ain't no better way to learn to appreciate your breath than the moment it's almost snatched out your chest. My heart races whenever I fit my car in between gaps a little too close to comfort. Switching lanes a little too early or a little too late. Smiling when I make it through, make it to another day. And I think all black boys are edgelords. Gotta learn at an early age to be comfortable with our feet swinging over the abyss. Because society loves to push us to the cliff. Why do you think we're always ready to jump off? Ready to call ones. So quick to drive by after we load guns. Black boys done grown up so close to death. Sometimes we get happy when we see him. Wonder if he gonna come take this weight off our chest. Because every breath is frowned upon, whether we smile or not, to excuse us if we grin at Grim Reaper like old friends. He been walking around this neighborhood for years. Yeah, we see him. We just not scared. We not looking for trouble. Just running from a world that wants us to act normal. Existing in the only place where we can truly find peace. Whether it be the highway or the block or the railroad. And as for my god brother, last year on Valentine's Day, he caught that train. Or the train caught him. The details are a bit derailing. Just know he ain't here no more. But this poem ain't about grief. It ain't a eulogy. It's a consecration for every black boy that finds their joy on the edge, who looks danger in the eye because it's the only time they feel alive. A dedication to every edge lord that loves to balance on the abyss and the celebration of the life of one who fell off.
Edgelord by Hassan Bird, and you can find a live stream of poetry slams from him and other A&T students on Instagram at Aggie Live Poets. What was the response? What was it's an incredible, powerful poem, and we should say we will include the text of the entire poem on our website, stateofthings.org. And you read this. It was at the funeral, right?
Yeah, I read a version of this. I've been adding to it and adjusting it since then, just to make it a little bit more thorough for the stage. But most of what is in it, I did read at the or parts of what was in it, I did read at the funeral, just for them. Like the same. It's basically the same piece.
Yeah.
But I feel like it's been appreciated. I've spit it in front of his mother, and his little brothers before. I don't know if his big brothers have heard it, just because of some of the things that they're going through in their life.
Right.
But go ahead.
No, I'm just going to say I'm running out of time here, so I want to say I appreciate talking with you and sharing your work with us, and you can find out more at our website, stateofthings.org. Hassan Bird, poet and senior at North Carolina A&T, and you can find live stream poetry slams from him and other A&T students at Aggie Live Poets as well on Instagram. Hassan, thanks so much for talking with us.
Thank you. Have a good one. And y'all have a great day.
Thank you very much. North Carolina Public Radio is a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. I'm Frank Stachow.